Amen. Lord Jesus, we just bless you. We praise you this night. You see now, I'm just unworthy vessel, sweet Lamb of God. Just have your way. Lord, let your word go forth. Open our ears, eyes, hearts to receive what you have for us this night. And have your way. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You know, it's so funny. It's every time that I go to teach on a subject, like someone else goes and they teach on that same subject 2 or 3 weeks before. But that's all right, because the Lord says, you know, you just keep going, teach what I show you. So that's what we're going to do tonight. First, we're going to take a look at it. We're going to see, we're all in a battle. And this is about winning this battle. We're going to turn to Ezekiel 28. 14 and 15, talking about, I'm going to put this somewhere else, I'm going to rip it on. I think I'll do that. Talking about Lucifer here, it says, "Since thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so, else upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire, thou wast perfect in thy way from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." So here we see that Lucifer, he was anointed. That means God took him and consecrated him, and he set him in this position. He not only was the anointed cherub. Now, cherubs in the Bible, what they did was they protected God, protected his holiness. You'll find the cherub sitting above the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament tabernacle. But I think where you really get the view of what these cherubs are all about in Solomon's temple. In Solomon's temple, he put two cherubs in this Holy of Holies, and these cherubs stood 15 feet tall. Really, on one side, these guys are giants. Amen? And they had a 15-foot wingspan. One wing touched the wall, one wing stood above the ark, and the other one was over here. His wing touched the wall, and the other one stood above the ark. Amen? These were warriors, and they were covering. It says, you're the cherub that covereth. It means they hedged, they fenced in. Their ministry was to protect. Even with Lucifer, in Isaiah, it says 14:12-17, it says, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Lucifer, his ministry in the beginning was to uphold the truth. His ministry was to confirm the truth. His ministry was to support the truth. Even his name Lucifer, it means he was a light bearer. That's what his ministry was. But then we see the dangers of pride and the consequences of departing from God. I mean, we see his pride. He said, "Well, I'm going to ascend. Going to stand above the stars." He says, "I'm going to set my throne on high. I'm going to stand above the heights." He says, "I'm going to be like the Most High." Well, after this, we saw that that the Lord cast him out of heaven. Not only him, cast out his angels with him. Now, when he was cast out down here to earth, he's no longer called Lucifer, he's called the Father of Lies. And as the Father of Lies down here, we know him as Satan, devil, serpent, dragon. And it says in Revelation 12:9, it says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who's called the devil and Satan, that deceiveth the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Now, this here, dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, it's all describing the same person. And when he was cast out, you know, his angels were with him. In Ephesians 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness." These here are the angels that were cast out with him. Now, the reason I said this is the Father of Lies. We're all in a fight. Because Satan, he stands against the truth. His warfare is not with us, but he's fighting against the truth. Thank you, Jesus. And the different ones that he fought against was he fought against Job, fought against Zechariah, fought against Jesus, fought against Peter. And in this life, he's going to fight against us. He's going to stand against us. Amen. And the principalities are with him, and also we have the devil. And with the devil, he slanders the truth. And then we have the serpent. But like I said, this is all the same person. Basically, he twists the truth. What he does is he promotes his good, what God forbids, like in the garden with Adam, male and female. And when they were in the garden, and he came in and he said to Adam, female, he said, you know, hath God not said that you can eat of all the trees of the garden? And she said, well, she said, the Lord said that that we can't touch it. We can't eat it, nor can we touch it, lest we die. So he came in and he deceived them. So we have the serpent and the dragon. But I want to move on. I just want to let you know we're there. I want you to know we're in a battle. And I want you to know that the way we're going to fight this battle is we're going to put on the armor of God. And this armor protects us against attack. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. This word stand means immovable against the wiles of the devil, deceit, trickery. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God. Look, we got to pick this armor up, and we got to use it if we're going to be able to withstand, if we're going to be able to resist. And having done all to stand, we're to stand. Stand, remain fixed, immovable. Having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, seek God with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all things, taking the shield of faith. Whereas ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. Now, what I really want to get into is how we're going to defeat this enemy today. First thing the Bible says that we're to put on this belt of truth. The belt of truth covers our loin section. And in the Bible, he says, your word is truth. So the truth can be found in God's word. Truth can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. Even in weightlifting, when we're talking about lifting, they all know that all power and strength comes from our loin section, comes from our midsection. Anytime they start lifting heavy, you'll see they belt up. First thing they do. Amen? Because this is where all power and strength comes from. And that's the way with us, you know. In this battle, we're going to have to put on God's armor. First thing he gave us is this apron of truth. We're going to have to belt up. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. I mean, we're going to have to read the Word. We're going to have to study the Word. We're going to have to memorize the Word. We're going to have to sing the Word. You know, I've been in services here lately, one in the Jewish synagogue and also in the Greek Orthodox. You go into their service, the whole service is sung. No, nobody speaks. They sing from beginning to end. Everything they do is a song. Amen? And Jesus said, so I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the truth. No one comes unto the Father except by me. So we got to start our day with the Word, got to end our day with the Word. And so, and it, we have here, we got to memorize based on our struggles. Now, next thing we got to do, it says we got to put on this breastplate of righteousness. And also, the Bible also calls it the breastplate of faith and love. Now, his righteousness means, that it's fair and impartial character. And we put on this breastplate, the way we put on this breastplate is through faith. And one of the first attacks that he's going to come, when he comes to us, is he's going to come to us, and he's going to let us know that God's not just, God's not fair. Amen? And so we're going to have to put on this breastplate, we're going to have to put on this righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. He's the righteous one, his righteousness. And we're going to have to let the enemy know who the righteous one is. Amen? When he comes to attack, we're going to have to speak up. We're going to have to let him know that Jesus is merciful. Amen? Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's a merciful high priest. What does he do? He pushes back what we deserve. Amen? What else is he? He's gracious. He's full of grace. Gives us what we don't deserve. Amen. Speak it out. He's long-suffering. A lot of times when I'm under attack, you know, I walk around my house. Say, Lord, you're merciful. You're gracious. You're long-suffering. You suffer long with me. Amen. You're abundant in goodness. Amen. Full of goodness. You're abundant in truth. You're given steadfast love. And you're a just judge. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, this breastplate of faith and love. We got to love God with all our heart, love Him with all our soul, love Him with all our mind, love Him with all our strength. Jesus, you know, when Jesus said unto the people, He said, you know, the work of God is to believe on Him who God sent, and that's on Jesus. Next thing we put on is we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are the sandals of the gospel of peace. And here, look, everything we're fighting the enemy with is with truth. First, we're putting on the truth as a belt. Amen. Read the word, study the word, pray the word. Next thing we're putting on is the sandals of peace. I mean, this is truth too. We're putting truth on our feet, and that's what the gospel is. The gospel is truth about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what's on our feet, life. We're fighting with the truth in this war. It was an Oriental custom that when the kings would go forth, that what they would do is send forth an entourage, and they'd go forth and they'd level the road before they got there. And a lot of times, I mean, I know I worked in construction. A lot of times when you're going to level the road, they didn't have all these big tools. A lot of times you're using your feet to stump out the dirt clods to level the road. I know we had to fill back in ditches, and we had to level the ditch. And a lot of times you just had to go through and stump with your feet. And that's kind of what's going on here with the gospel. I mean, when we go forth with the gospel of peace, I mean, what really happens when we go forth with the gospel? What does the truth do? Well, it goes forth and it prepares the minds of men to receive the Messiah Christ. Kind of what John the Baptist said. He said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley is going to be filled. Every mountain be brought low. Crooked straight. And the rough is going to be made smooth. So, put on these shoes. Next is the shield of faith. And here again, we're dealing with Scripture. I mean, first, when we put on the breastplate, That's our faith in the person. That's our faith in the Word. But that's our faith in the person, Jesus Christ. Now, when we're fighting with this shield of faith, now we're fighting with the promises of God. We're fighting with this right here. See, it's one thing to believe on Jesus Christ. It's another thing to use the Word to fight our battles. And you'll see what I mean here in a second. I mean, Satan, it says he's coming with his fiery darts. I mean, these darts, fiery, they're set on fire. But these are lust-filled darts. Not only that, they're missiles, they're javelins, they're arrows. Look, he knows what each and every one of our problems are. So I can guarantee you when he's shooting his arrows, he's shooting specifically at each and every one of us. Because he knows exactly what we're going through, knows exactly what we're struggling with. Amen? And this is a passive faith. Not a passive faith, but this is an active faith. So, here, when I talk about standing on the Word, the problem with today is we live in a quick-fix Christianity. We want to drive through Christianity. We want to have this drive through and have it all done, right? You know, right now. Like we get our food. Hurry up. You know, if we got to wait any amount of time, you know. But that's not how God works. I mean, we got to stand. We got to wait. We got to stand on the promises. It's like here. It's like if someone has anger. What we need to do is, if you know what your problem is, if you know what you're fighting, if you know what your struggle is, go to the Word of God and pick out the Word that helps you in your struggle. And have them scriptures available and know them, because I can assure you the enemy is going to attack. You know, then when he comes, you know, it says, whoever's slow to anger is better than the mighty. And whoever rules his spirit is better than he that takes the city. In James, it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every man be quick to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man produces not the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My God shall supply all my need according to his glory. And to his riches and glory. What I'm saying here is whatever our problem is, we got to stand on that. When he comes, speak it. Speak it out loud. Amen? I think of different ones that I listened to their testimony. There was this one singer. Her name was Tasha Cobb. She fought depression. She had her, I think it was her niece, was living with her, and finally her niece said to her, she said, you know, Tasha, she said, I got to get out here. She said, you're so depressed. She said, you're depressing me. But you know what? She realized then, yes, I got a problem with this depression. And then so what she started to do every day, she got up, and she went to the mirror, and she said, you know what, Tasha? She says, you're a new creature in Christ. You know? She said, well, it may not change overnight. It did. It took her 3-4 months. You know? But then the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You know what? Keep saying it over and over again. And guess what? Pretty soon, you're going to start believing it. Amen? So she just kept going. You know what? Tasha, you're a new creature in Christ. You know? Keep going. After a while, you know what? I'm just saying, today a lot of times I think we're looking so much into God doing the miracle and the quick fix. He doesn't want that. You know, do we want to be a fan? Do we want to know about Jesus? You know, or do we want to be a follower? And do we want to enter into a relationship with Jesus? And if he keeps doing these quick fixes, we're never going to enter into that relationship. You enter into that relationship through the struggle that you're going through with him. Amen? So another one was this Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, the doctors left him to die.
I mean, they said he was still a kid, early teens. Said, "You're dying. We're out of here. There's not a thing that we can do for you." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I'm not believing that report." Amen? I'm not believing that report. You know? So what did he do? Picked up the scripture. You know what I'm saying? "Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." You say, well, was he healed in a day or two? No. He went a year. You know what? But he kept speaking the word. Like I said, you keep speaking that word, keep saying the word. Pretty soon you're going to have the faith to believe that word. Amen? And then we have the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation, also called the hope of salvation. So the truth that protects our mind as a helmet is what? The hope of salvation. What is the hope of our salvation? Well, this salvation here focuses on the return of Christ. And Paul said in Titus, he said, waiting. That means we're waiting eagerly. We're expecting the fulfillment of the promises. We're expecting the fulfillment of the truth. And then what are we waiting for? We're waiting for our blessed hope. What is our blessed hope? Our blessed hope is the appearing of and the glory of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's the truth that we're standing on. That's our helmet to protect our minds these days. Amen? Look, we get our minds into the truth of Christ's return. And you know what? It's going to drive us to holiness. I mean, I don't know very few people that have been going on for the Lord for a while that don't know that his appearing is imminent. Very few. Amen? Next thing we do, we have the sword of the Spirit. Only offensive piece of armor that we have. And we've been talking about it, but here, you got to speak the truth out. Say it out loud. Say it to the spiritual world. You're speaking to yourself too. Amen? Be intentional. Not only that, you take our tongue. You know our tongue's a sword. That's what the Bible says. So the enemy is going to come at you. You're going to have to come back with the word of God. That's what our tongue is. Tongue's a sword. It says there in Proverbs, there is one whose rash words are like swords for us, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. Doesn't matter. Our tongue is still a two-edged sword. One side's blessing, one side's cursing. It says in James, these things shouldn't be so, but it's still a sword. That's what the Word of God is. The Word of God's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why the Lord gave us this member. Amen? That's why it looks like a sword, so we can speak out these truths. He lays his sword on top of this sword here. Well, what does it say about his word? It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." It's not going to return unto me void, but it's going to go out and it's accomplished the thing which I please. All we got to do is speak it out, and it's going to accomplish. I don't know what it's going to accomplish. He does, though. Our thing is we just have to speak it. Amen. So, here's what I wanted to get to all this about. We're going to have to stand on the truth. Now we take a look at Job real quick, and because Satan came against Job, and how Job overcome? Well, Satan came against him, and he stood on the truth. Let's take a look at Job. We learned that one day all the angels came present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord's the one that said to Job, he says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" said to Satan. He said, "You know what?" He said, He said he's just. He's upright. He fears God. He escheweth evil. Amen? And what Job do right away, the first thing he did was accuse God. He said, you know, the problem here, God, is that you put a hedge about Job. Nobody can touch him. And then what did he do? Then he went and he accused Job to God. He said, you know what? He's only serving you because you blessed him. He said, just take the blessing away, and I can assure you that he's going to come and he's going to curse you to your face. Amen? And so here's Job. What did he do? Lost his possessions. I'm not going to go into all that. You can read it. And after he lost his possessions, now you got to understand, Job was written before any other book of the Bible. So he couldn't go to the Old Testament prophets, couldn't go to the law to figure out what truth to stand on. But we know he had a relationship with the Lord by what the Lord said about him. But he stood on the truth that he knew. He stood on the truth that he had. This is the only way that he overcame Satan here. First thing he said after all this, Satan accused him of, said he's going to curse you to your face. First thing Job said, when after he let him take away all his possessions, he says, naked came I from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No cursing there. Amen. Just blessing. Standing on the little bit of word that he had. And then we learn later what Satan come and do. Came and touched his body. Filled him with all these sores. Amen. And finally, I think his wife was starting to get tired of it too. And said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Amen? But here again, he stood on the truth. He said, you know what? Shall we receive good from God? Shall we not receive evil? As we go on for God, I'll let you know that we're going to receive evil. The Bible says that he forms the light, says he creates darkness, he makes peace. He creates evil. All these things that are coming our way, yes, he allows Satan to minister them, but he knows exactly what's going on. Because he's the owner of all these things, he's the master of all these things. Amen? But Job stood on the truth. And finally here he was, and all his comforters came. They had to say, you know what, you're a sinner, you're wicked, you're a hypocrite. Finally got to the place where he said, you know what, miserable comforters you guys are. You haven't comforted me at all through this. Amen? And here he is, still standing on the truth. He says, though he slay me, I'm going to hope in him. He says, I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last day he'll stand on the earth. And he said, and in my flesh, he said, I know I'm going to see God. Now, can you imagine? Here's a guy that doesn't have the Bible, doesn't have the New Testament, doesn't have the Old, but he knows in this last day, in his flesh, he's going to see God, standing on the truth. He says, when he tried me, he says, I'm going to come forth as gold. Amen? I'm trying to say is we're going through the fire. I can tell you this from my experience. I'm not getting through on my strength. I'm only going to get through standing on the truth. I'm only going to get through standing on the Word of God. Amen? And finally, God really showed him his pride. And then what did Job do? Well, then he repented from dust and ashes. Few more minutes and then we're done. A second one that was tested by Satan came and stood against him was Zechariah, the high priest. Here they were. They were building the temple, second temple. They were all coming back from Jerusalem. Zechariah and Haggai, prophets, Joshua, the high priest, and Ezra. And it says, and Joshua, the high priest, he was standing. And it means to stand, remain, present oneself as a servant before the Lord. And Satan was standing at the right hand to accuse him. I don't know what Satan was accusing him of. Probably because he was unclean. Probably because they'd all just come back from Babylon. I don't know if everybody separated themselves like Daniel, Meshach, Abednego. I don't know if but I know he came back. And I know Satan was there to accuse him. I do know this, that when Zechariah saw this garment, that he was clothed in filthy garments. I do know, he said to the angel then, he said, you know what, hey, remove these garments from him. And he said, and put a clean turban on him. And the reason I mention that is because sometimes, like I'm sure, like there, the accusation, it probably was true. But sometimes we just need to stand. Amen? And sometimes not even say a word. Take Jesus. There was many times where he was accused. He never said a word. He was before Pontius Pilate. You know, Pontius was talking to him, didn't speak a word. Before poor Herod, didn't open his mouth. Neither time. Sometimes we just need to stand and wait for the Lord to come down. Wait for him to redeem us. Sometimes Satan, he sifts God's people. We know that he sifted two people. We know that he sifted Job. I mean, when he was done sifting Job, putting him through that sifter. I mean, Satan wants to prove to God that all of us are nothing but chaff. Amen? But after the sifting process took place, amen? Well, then what was left was humility. And you take Peter, you know? The Lord said, you know, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. And so he did sift Peter. I mean, and here was Peter in his proud arrogance. He said, you know what? Though everyone denies you, he says, I'll never deny you. Amen? And so the Lord sifted him. He says, that's all right, Peter. He says, when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. Amen. When he was left, wasn't proud arrogance was left, but a true dependence now on the Lord, a true love. Not this false love, but a true love now. It surely was true. He followed him all the way to the cross. Amen. Amen. The whole message today really was we got to stand on the word, we got to stand on the truth.